It was late in the afternoon when we started driving. My friends John and Haley in the front seat, and Jesse, who was at that point my friend, and I in the back seat. It was late, and we were 22, and it was a gorgeous August day in New Hampshire. We had nothing to worry about. As we set out on our way, Haley announced that she knew a good shortcut to get to the lake house where we were headed, and we happily agreed. The familiar paved road narrowed and then soon turned to dirt. We passed a sign that said the road was closed in winter, but it was August, so we continued. It became littered with potholes and then turned to mud, and as we went deeper into the woods, boulders began dotting the road. After some really awful squealing scrapes from underneath the car, Haley and Jesse and I decided to get out and walk behind to try to lift the chassis a little bit, which helped. Now, we probably should have known at this point, but sometimes it can be really hard to acknowledge that you're in the wilderness. This is where we meet our prophet this morning, the wilderness. It's a dangerous place. It's a place where people are very clearly not in control. Place we generally avoid. The wilderness is where we become small, living at the mercy or the whim of a world much larger than ourselves. John gives the people who braved their way in the wilderness a very simple roadmap to get ready for God. It begins with repentance. And many of us shudder at the sound of it. Such an invitation is to this change. It's always a staggering one if we take it seriously. And with reason, repentance is not for the faint of heart. And yet, don't we know all about this wilderness? It gets confused because too often our wilderness looks like 10 lanes of freeway, flat and smooth and packed as parking lots. It can make it hard for us to viscerally understand what John is talking about as he quotes Isaiah. Lift up the valleys, fill them in, bring the mountains low. Make the crooked paths straight, the rough ways smooth. So often here, it seems the roads already are, and we either sit waiting on them or we speed on by. Back in the wilds of New Hampshire, though, it was anything but smooth. We thought we were pretty slick, having maneuvered the car through mud and around boulders. We came across a sign really pretty far into the middle of nowhere that actually said, "This road does not go to Dorchester." Which was precisely where we were trying to go. We can convince ourselves of all kinds of things. When we are in the wilderness, though. And so we continued. A hill then rose before us. It had been smooth for a while, hopeful, getting more hopeful, and then a hill. It wasn't a tremendous slope, but just enough so that up ahead there was an exposed culvert crossing the road. And because of the slope, there was a good foot and a half of the culvert that rose above where we had hoped to drive. It was completely impassable. And yet, there really was no turning back. And so, not seeing any other choice, we began gathering fallen logs and branches and began to build a ramp. Because we were lost in the wilderness. And we gathered and we gathered and we built until we actually could heave the car up and over this culvert. And unbelievably, it worked. Finally, we emerged from the woods to discover that from that end, this road was marked very clearly as a trail for feet and horses and bicycles. But we were out on pavement. We were driving 10 miles an hour, and then 15, and 20, and 30, free, until suddenly, again, we stopped. In front of us stood a gate. It was locked, and it was up against boulders on one side and a cliff on the other. We were stuck. We were able to see the freedom of a real road just on the other side, but we were very quickly giving up hope of being freed anytime soon. Even living in a big city, maybe especially living in a big city, we get lost in the wilderness. Phil spoke about this last week, the ways that we look to numb ourselves or accomplish as much as we possibly can or attempt to protect ourselves by walling others off. Consuming, drinking, buying our way to some elusive endpoint, but all too often losing ourselves in the process. These mountains and valleys, they catch us. They bend us off course. They leave us stuck somewhere altogether unfamiliar. Maybe we can see beyond this wilderness towards a life that is sober, or to a marriage that feels more alive and less like a small business partnership, or in the direction of an existence that is simpler, that's just enough. Maybe we can get a glimpse out there on the horizon of a life where we are deeply rooted in community. But so often in the wilderness, even if we can see beyond that valley or make out something besides that mountain that is before us, we can feel paralyzed, trapped in this foreign place. It's right here in this wilderness that John calls us to a baptism of repentance. He insists that this is how we get ready for God. This is not a hellfire and brimstone call for self-flagellation. This is not when I tell you that you're all wretched sinners and are in for it. Right? The call for repentance has been used this way and hurt too many people along the way. We have to go back to the Greek here. The word translated as repentance is metanoia. It does not mean meditate in misery and suffer for all the ways you have failed. It does not mean that. It means, quite simply, to change your mind. Meta, to change, like metamorphosis and noia, mind. It's changing how you see and think, changing your stance in the world. It's reorienting your very core. Repentance is about changing your mind and then choosing a different path. This metanoia is, well, it's much easier preached than done. We think the way we do for a reason. It's worked for us, at least, sort of. Our entrenched ways may feel like part of us, or even if we don't like them, at least they're familiar. Changing our thinking can be terrifying, both because we're not sure if we can change, and also as we fear what might happen if we actually do. It is intensely vulnerable work. Sometimes I think that this repentance, this changing your mind, can be as simple as deciding to see that something else is possible. That you could reach for help for your addiction. That you could dig in once again with your partner. That you could practice being more patient with your kids. That you could choose to stop buying more and more. Repentance can be choosing to trust that these other ways are possible. Back on the wrong side of that locked gate, though, I was not exercising this kind of vision. I could not see any hopeful way out beyond maybe finding a farmhouse somewhere down the road and calling the police apologetically. It was already dusk, and it seemed like we should just roll out our sleeping bags there on the pavement and wait. Three of us were sitting there, snacking and waiting, when my friend Haley nonchalantly called out, "Got it." And she held up an open lock. A 4-digit combination lock. 10,000 possibilities. Cracked. While I had been sighing and giving up, she had been puzzling, wondering what it could be. She thought maybe a year would be an easy number to remember, and so she started at 1900. At 2006, the lock dropped open. We were free. Watching Haley blew my mind. It was an impressive magic trick, sure, but more than that, she just refused to give up on hope. She saw something. She began trying, just trying, for another way through. As I watched her, and as I have replayed this scene in my mind again and again over the years, my mind has been changed. It wasn't so much that she got it, but that she hoped enough to try. Her boldness has pulled me towards a stance of openness, a way of trusting that even the most absurd obstacles can be passed, that we can be healed, reconciled, made free. The mountains leveled, the valleys lifted up, the paths made straight and smooth. This is how we get ready for God, here and now. This is our Advent. We prepare by changing our minds, opening ourselves to the hope of new life. So, whatever wilderness you may find yourself in, look for what is beyond. Reconciliation, wholeness, trusting that you belong. Whatever it is, this prophet is already there in the wilderness and is calling out to you that there is a way through. We don't have to know how to get there yet. Today, the call is simply to repentance, to changing our minds.